Now, you might be wondering, why are we doing Peter? I don't know if this is really applicable to us. but here's the deal. So last week, you guys all wrote down in your small groups your favorite topics that you'd like to hear us talk about at Ignite. Guess what? Most of them are found in 1 Peter. It's crazy. I was like, no way, this is nuts. So today, we're going to talk about fear. And that was a big one that came out in a number of your guys' small group discussions, that fear was like fear of all sorts of things, right? And how do you deal with fear? And the other one, another one was eternal life, like what is, like, and heaven and questions about heaven and stuff like that. So we're going to actually talk about that a little bit today. So I was really excited because I was like, okay, do we need to make another kind of whole series where we talk about all these things that you guys want to talk about? And then after going through them, I'm like, I'd say most of them are in 1 Peter. So that's pretty fun, right? Yeah? All right. Let's get to it. So last week was our first week, and we just did the first few verses, and we talked about how amazing it is for us to be chosen by God. Like, this is such an amazing thing, because we all know that we don't deserve it. Like, somehow God has just decided to choose us, and it's really strange, because it's, yeah, oh, thank you, Shaden. I forgot to, Bibles, yes. So you're going to page 738. So where was it there? So as God's chosen people, there's something really special because we all know we don't deserve it. We all know that we're not special enough for God just to go like, I want that kid in my family. Right? Are you guys with me? Or maybe you think, yeah, oh, I'm awesome. So and then you have a different problem. But yeah, so we talked about that last week where God just chooses us, that there's this really important, amazing thing, significance that God chooses us to become part of his family. And in the video there, we talked about, like, there's this, 1 Peter is this kind of this displaying this invitation that God has to become part of this new people that Jesus has began with his death and resurrection. So it's pretty cool. So that was last week. All right, so this week we are starting in chapter 1, verse 3. So we did two verses. We're going to go all the way to 12. And so this is kind of the second part of the introduction. And so here's how we're going to do this. So you can go to page 738 and put your finger in it. I'm just gonna go through it little line by line, and then we're just gonna explain it. And if there's some questions or whatever, and you're kind of like, I don't understand something, just put your hand up, and we'll try to help you understand. Okay? So it's interactive. You don't have to. If you have questions that you really want to ask, don't just sit there. Yes. Okay. According to the text, so I'm trusting you. Okay? I'm trusting that it'll be a question about what we're talking about. I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking. Fingers in the Bible there. We'll get to there in a minute. Okay. First of all, I want to think about this word chosen, because this is the whole series, this whole thing is named chosen. What does it mean to be chosen? Not that, what does it mean? What is the significance of being chosen? Is there some things out there that you guys can just kind of give me some feedback here? Chosen by God. Okay, let's just narrow it to chosen by God. What are some, even just single words, like I'll get you started, like adopted. So like that's in the Bible, right? Where we have God adopting us into his family. Any other words or phrases? Yeah. Yeah, being God's kids. Yeah, being God's children, for sure. It's really easy, you guys. Set apart, yeah, valued. We did recharge, set apart, right? Inheritance. Yeah, we heard that, or we're going to hear that in a minute here. Anything else? Chosen, significance. You guys got most of the ones that I have listed here. Sorry? An heir? Yeah, that's one of the very frequently used words, that there's an inheritance for us, that we are heirs to something special, right? Okay, how about this? Elected. Elected, yeah, chosen. That's the whole, that's what the word means, right? Elected. How about loved? Right? I think being chosen especially by a dad. There's something about being loved, right? Your dad chooses you. Something about that is like really powerful when it comes to love. Just maybe it's because I'm a dad and I feel like when we adopted Titus, there's something really powerful about choosing Titus. We actually got to choose him, which is amazing. So anyway, right? Naya and Silas, where are you guys, right? Choosing Titus is so cool. We did it as a family, right? It was really neat. How about set free? You guys heard that language in the Bible? Yeah. So being part of God's family sets us free from slavery and some of the other things that are in the world that just want to crush us. And today's word is hope. Being part of God's family, being chosen, gives us hope. And that's kind of the theme we're going to explore today. So here's where I want to go with the start of this talk. We live in a world that has very little hope. You read all these articles about the news that's going on. You have this young girl flying around, which is odd, to all these different countries talking about climate change and how the world's going to end, right? So you have this incredible fear that's just being generated by all of this stuff, and people are just desperate for hope. And so what we have is we have a whole section of our culture grasping at if humans can just stop using so much carbon, we'll all be okay. Okay? Whether it's true or not, that's not what we're going to talk about. But here's what has happened in human history from the beginning. The problem in the world isn't going to be fixed by humans. And what we see through the 6,000 years of history, or however many thousand years we have of history of humans, is that humans are continually trying to fix the problems that we create, only to create new problems. Okay? You guys tracking with me? Would you agree with that? Is this not the pattern of humanity? We'll try to fix the problems, but when we fix those problems, we create 10 new ones. And so there's just more and more and more. And so I specifically want to talk about Greta. You guys all know who Greta is? This kid that's traveling around the world. Swedish girl, yeah. I'm not picking on her. I just want to use her as an example. And so what we have is we have an entire culture that's grasping at, if we only do this, we can fix it. But how do we get people to do it? So what is one of the biggest motivators out there to get people to do stuff? Okay, money.
Fear.
I would say that has been used more than anything else, right? By kingdoms, kings, families, moms, dads, kids, leaders of world leaders. Fear, right? Fear. How about like drug lords? And like you just go down the list. People just, it almost seems that if you have power, that you need people to fear you to stay in that position. Right? And so we have this whole cultural kind of push. And how do you get people on board? You get them scared. You get them fearful so that they do what you want, right? What is that called?
Manipulating.
Nice. James nails it. First guess. Boom. It's manipulation, right? But this is how the world works. And I'm not going against all this stuff. I'm just saying that this is the way the world works. But this is not the way God works. And the cool thing about 1 Peter is he explains this is not how God does things. God does not motivate you to love him and live your life for him primarily by fear. Right? He doesn't rule as this God up there with a bunch of lightning bolts in his hand, just waiting for you to make a mistake so he can go, zap. That's Zeus, by the way. That's not Jesus. Okay? And so Jesus, when you think of God, and we rarely think of this incredible man who came to earth and lived among us. We often think of someone up in the sky. Okay, are you guys with me in this? You often think of someone far away, big, sometimes angry, right? Especially if you don't do what he wants. But we rarely think of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Because Jesus, the Bible even says it in Colossians, that he's the exact representation of God. He's the exact, because he is God, right? So he is God with human parts on, right? He put on flesh, the Bible says. He put on skin. Yeah, that's what he did. He's God, and God didn't have to do it, but he became human. So he took on humanity. Isn't that crazy? God became one of us. He became human. And so when we think of God, one of the first things we need to think about is Jesus. Because there wasn't very many people that seemed to be scared of Jesus, was there? Except when he said to the, like, okay, so here's an example of the fear that Jesus creates. So disciples are out in a boat, and the waves, all of a sudden the wind and waves, and Jesus is so tired, he's sleeping, okay? He's like exhausted, he's snoring. And I don't know if you've ever been in a storm on the lake out here. I've been in some pretty big waves out there. It's kind of scary. But these guys were like fishermen and had lived on the lake. And so this must have been a crazy storm because they were like, we're dead. And they're like, Jesus, help us. What are you doing sleeping? How can you sleep? And Jesus stands up and he speaks to the waves and the wind and they stop. They listen to him. And it says that the disciples were like freaked out. That's my translation. They're freaked out. They're afraid. What kind of man is this? Who is this that can talk to the wind and waves and they obey him? That's the kind of fear. That's when we think of fear, that's it. Jesus wasn't a scary dude. But he had such incredible power. One of the reasons why we have the New Testament is so we have a picture of who God is. It's the same God as the Old Testament, and if we read the Old Testament and we come up with a different God than Jesus, then we haven't really read the Old Testament. You guys tracking with me? And so when it comes to fear, we fear God differently, for instance, than we would fear climate change ending our world. Okay, so here's what you need to know. That I brought this up, so I need to finish this conversation about the climate change stuff. Humans are not going to destroy the world. The Bible's really clear about that. That God has a plan, and everything is going according to this plan. It may not seem like that, but when you read some of the crazy stuff that the Bible has written, and it's coming true, all the way to Revelation, to the end times, it's like, oh, okay, so God's not surprised by all this stuff. Right? And if you go back through human history, there's always been somebody saying the world's going to end. It just, the reason changes, right? So when I was a kid, and I think I've talked about this before, when I was a kid, there was going to be nuclear war. It was going to destroy the world. Everybody was scared. People were building bunkers under the ground so that when World War III came and everybody nuked everybody, they would live on the canned rations they had in their bunker. Like, seriously, there's still people that have it. Like, it's nuts. But it was generated by fear. And so this is, I want you guys to understand, we don't need to fear these things. Now, it's good to take care of the environment, to do our part, awesome. But we don't need to be manipulated by the fear. As Christians, we have a different view of life. We know that God is in control. And we know because of books like 1 Peter that we're about to read. Okay, so how's that for a beginning? That addressed at least one of the questions or one of the issues that was up there. All right, awesome. Let's go. You come with me? Your finger's still in there? You guys still with me? Awesome. Everybody have a Bible? Good. Turn to page 738 if you haven't already. All right, let's start. The heading says, the hope of eternal life. Ooh, eternal life. Excellent. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Christ, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Okay. So right off the bat here, we need to remember, why are we chosen? Why did Jesus choose us? Or, what's so funny? I'm stumbling over my words. Okay. We are chosen because of what? It's in the Bible. It's right there. It's not a hard question. Verse 3. Because God, it is by his great mercy. Number one thing to understand about being chosen by God, it's because of his mercy. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, you're being chosen by God to be in a new family. So the language in here is a little confusing. It's actually better in some of the other translations. But what's happening here is you're being reborn. Okay, you've heard the word born again, right? But that's confusing. Let's go with, you're being reborn. That sounds more our language, right? You guys, yeah? Reborn? You're being reborn into a living hope. So that's what that first verse is talking about. So this family of God is actually called a living hope. That's pretty cool. Because when you look around, there's not a lot of hope in our world. And people struggle with hope. And here's the deal. When you lack hope, darkness follows. Right? That's the absence of hope brings darkness. Hope, that's how hope is so important to you guys. Some of you guys don't even necessarily know you have hope because you've grown up in a family where there's lots of hope and you haven't experienced any darkness. Some of you guys have experienced lots of darkness and you know exactly what I'm talking about, because when hope gets squashed, darkness comes up. Okay, and that's what's happening all around in our culture. Now we live with great expectation and we have a priceless inheritance. So there's inheritance from Mr. Teeple there. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled beyond the reach of any change or decay. And through your faith, through our what? Faith. Nice. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last day for all to see. Okay, so we have been chosen because of God's great mercy. We have been reborn into this family that's also called Living Hope. People of God are called a living hope. Pretty cool. We have an incredible inheritance. You guys know what inheritance is? Just to make sure. Inheritance. You guys know what it is? So when someone passes away and they leave you money and possessions, that's an inheritance. So you get it. So what's happening here is, though, when you pass away, then you will receive this inheritance. So it's talking about heaven. Okay, other thing that's coming out from what we just read, you've been given faith. And through faith, okay, that's why I had you repeat that. It's through faith in Jesus that you are protected by God. Isn't that cool? But it's because you believe in Jesus that God protects you. Now, remember who Peter's writing to. He's writing to people who are being persecuted. So this is a really interesting statement that God is protecting them. What is he protecting them from? Yeah, he's protecting them from the darkness and the dark forces. That doesn't mean they won't have any more persecution. He's saying God's protecting you. So watch out. There's going to be some hardships and pain, but God's protecting you. That inheritance will be safe. It'll be pure. And when at the end of your life, you'll get to go see Jesus and actually have partake in this inheritance. All right? And so it's because of his mercy and faith that we will receive, this last verse that we just read, that we will receive this salvation on that final day. So that sounds like a pretty good day. And so if you're worried about that day, here's a good way to not be worried about it. That day isn't for the good people to receive salvation. That day is for God's family to receive salvation. If you're one of God's kids, salvation belongs to you. It's part of the inheritance. Okay? So it's not, as long as I am a good person and do enough works, do enough good things, then I'll have salvation that last day. That's not what he's saying at all. He's been really clear that you've been reborn. It's too late. Right? You can't be on the other team now. If you become a Christian, it says you've been reborn into this living hope, into this new family. And at the end of days, when Jesus is standing there, it's not the good and the bad he's going to separate. It's those who belong to him and those who do not. Okay? That's why being chosen is so incredible, you guys. What an incredible thing that God chooses you to be part of his family, so that on that last day, you'll still be chosen. You'll still receive that salvation because you're in his family. That's really cool, because having to work for it and just try to be a good person is tough. Like, I'm just thinking, I don't think I'd make it. Too many deviations away from being a good person for me. All right, we got to keep going here. We're almost time for small group. All right, so let's keep going. Verse 6. So, be truly glad. Sounds good, right? Be glad. Why? Because there is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. So he's telling them, if you're going through hard times, okay? So he's telling these specific Christians that you're being persecuted and hurt because you love Jesus. However, this principle or this idea belongs to the people of God. If you belong to his family, this is something you can do. Even if you're not being persecuted, but if you're going through pain and suffering and hardship, this is one of those verses where you need to think about. There is wonderful joy ahead. This is what hope is about, you guys. It is about understanding that ahead of you is something amazing, is something incredible. And I was trying to figure out a word, and this is what I came up with. Crazy joy, or how about this? Wild happiness. Okay? I don't know if anybody, I've ever heard anybody talk about wild happiness. And so I don't want you, I was just kind of like, there is no words that can express what this inheritance or what this joy, this amazing thing that we're waiting for is going to be like. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about heaven, you guys. This is what he's talking about at the end of days. So when you're going through hardship, it's important to look ahead, to look, okay, it's difficult now, but there's something waiting for me that is going to be unbelievable. This wild happiness that I can't even imagine is waiting for me. And that's for me, like, just coming from this text, this is the best way I can describe. They said truly glad. I'm going with wild happiness. Truly glad seems kind of lame. I'm going with crazy happiness crazy joy or wild happiness. Because there's something about heaven that's just going to take you, and just, you're going to be like, I can't believe this is happening. I couldn't even imagine it was going to be this good. And that's why we don't have a lot of pictures of heaven, right? We have some, and the Bible gives us some kind of, hey, this is what's going to be like, streets of gold. You're like, what? Wow. But that's just peripheral stuff. Doesn't even matter, because gold is cheap in heaven, man. It's like nothing, right? It's like, I don't know, like wood, right? That's it. It's just cheap. It's like fabric in heaven. It's like gold's nothing there. It's not precious because it's just common. So just think of the most precious things on earth are common in heaven. It's like, nah, it's nothing. What's that? What? Oh, yeah. People aren't common in heaven. That's right. All right, let's keep going. So there's this wonderful joy. These trials show you that your faith is genuine. You guys catch that? Why do we have trials? Why do we have hardship as Christians? Bang. you're paying attention. You guys hear that back there? Because it's in your small groups. You're going to have to answer that question. I'll just give you a heads up what's coming. Okay, it's a test, right? It tests whether our faith is genuine. Because what happens when you go through hardship? What happens if you're a Christian? I know not necessarily all you guys are Christians, but if you are a Christian, let me know. What happens when you go through some pain? What do? Pray. To who? God. Yeah. So what happens when we have pain? We reach out for him, right? As a Christian, we go like, ah, I need your help, Jesus. Can you help me? I can't go through this alone. And what does he do? He may not take you out of the pain, but he will definitely not let you go through it alone, because he's with you. That's what the whole part of being chosen is. He's with you all the time now. You are never alone. He's always there. Good times, bad times, he's always there. That's awesome. It, referring to faith, is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Do you guys ever seen the refiner kind of thing, refinery, where they refine precious metals? So there's this specific process, and it has to be heated to just the right temperature. and you have to watch, like silver is like this, you have to watch till it's exactly the right, where the impurities come up, and then you got to do it right away. If you wait too long, it ruins it. If you don't do it in time, it's not quality. So it's just like, it's just this pure moment when God uses the pain in our lives and the hardship, he uses it to produce something, and it's because we go to him. It's because it helps us to trust God. All right, we got to keep moving here. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, right? So when your faith remains strong through many trials, this is pretty cool. So he didn't say if. Isn't that cool? When? So if God has given you faith, it will help you get through these things, he's saying. That's cool. That's good to know. Another thing you need to grab onto when you're going through dark times. That faith, even though it may seem little at that time, is going to help you. It's going to help you through. All right. So when your faith remains strong through the trials, it will bring you much praise. That's cool. It will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Isn't that cool? You're like, what? Hold on a second. I'm getting praise and glory and honor? What? That's weird. Isn't that weird? Okay, when I was studying it, I was like, what? Is that right? Yeah. And where's the praise and honor and glory coming from? Jesus, because he takes such great pleasure in you. Because you're one of his kids. You're one of his family. So cool. You love him. Okay, this really applies to us. You love him, though you have never seen him. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes we have a hard time because we just like to see God sometimes, right? Just let me see, then I'll believe. It's not true, but anyway. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. Interesting. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Okay, so this is really important. What he's saying here, it's not just future joy that you're looking for. That God will actually give you joy. He says inexpressible joy. Following Jesus gives you something that the world cannot. It's this joy. The difference between joy and happiness is that you can be joyful when you're sad, but you cannot be happy and sad at the same time, right? You're either happy or you're sad or you're mad or you're happy. Like happiness is one of those things that is situational. So it changes according to your circumstance. Joy is not. Joy is deep downside, and you can have joy even when bad times and hard times are coming. So he's saying you can have this incredible, he says glorious, inexpressible joy. That's for today. That's not just for the future. So he's just given us some really great hope. He's like, following Jesus is about joy now and then and later. Like the joy that's coming, you can't even imagine. But there's inexpressible, glorious joy right now. That's awesome. I like that. You guys like that? No? Come on. Okay. Yes, I know, exams, whatever. Come on, you guys. Exams will be over, and then you'll have glorious, inexpressible joy or depression, depending how you did. All right. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Okay. So the cool thing about this is, so he just tied love. You love him when you don't see him, and you trust him. And joy is one of the products here. And so here we go. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Trusting Jesus, you can trust him today, and you can trust him tomorrow. You can trust him with your future. So especially for kids, this is a hard, you know what? For everyone. I shouldn't say just for kids. Because you guys are trying to think of what's ahead in your future, and it's hard to trust Jesus sometimes, right? But it doesn't get easier when you're an adult. It's still hard. It's always hard to trust Jesus because you don't know exactly what he's going to decide. The trust actually comes whether you trust that he knows best or you do. That's where it all comes down. All right, let's keep going. Okay, so this last section I'm going to read all together, and then I'm just going to explain it quick because there's some really cool stuff here, you guys. Listen to this. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. He's talking about the prophets in the Old Testament who wrote the Old Testament. They wondered. So they wrote it, but they didn't know all the details, right? They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. So the Old Testament is full, over 300 different prophecies about Jesus. All of them, like, at a minimum of like 500 to 600 years before Jesus was born. A minimum. Some of them 1,000. Like in the Psalms, we have Psalms from David, who was like 1,000 years before Jesus. It's incredible. And so this is, but they didn't know the details like we do. They just knew what God was showing them in that moment, and so they wrote it down, and that's actually how we have the Bible. Okay, so sorry, I said I'd keep going. So they wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ in them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves. You guys catch this? Listen to this. I'm going to read this again. Like, pay attention to this verse. It's so amazing. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. What? He just said that the Bible, this Old Testament, talking about Jesus, telling us he's coming, was written for you. What? That's what he says. Isn't that crazy, you guys? And get this. So they were told these messages not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news, this is about Jesus, has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Get this. It is so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Are you kidding me, you guys? So this is what's happened. God has this plan of salvation that starts with Adam and Eve. And the angels are like, oh, wow, look at this. God created a human. This is awesome. It's in God's image. Oh, we've got two of them. They're in God's image. This is so cool. They're sitting up there. They're watching it happen. And then they're like, oh, no, 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 no. Don't do it. Don't do it. Eve eats the fruit. Adam eats the fruit. They sin. And the angels are probably weeping as they're kicked out of the garden because of the sin. And so the angels are watching, what's next? What's going to come now? And they see God choose Abraham. And Abraham is the father of a great nation. And they hear the promises of God being given to Abram. They're like, oh, wow, God's choosing this person to build his family, to build a people, to make a people. He's using Abraham, but Abraham's just like a wanderer. Wow, this is amazing. So the angels are eagerly watching this all fold out. Abraham has sons. They have sons. We get to Egypt, and Joseph, one of the big Bible characters, is in Egypt. He becomes the prime minister of Egypt. What? Yes. You can read it. It's in Genesis. And he saves Egypt from a great famine. In fact, he saves the world from this great famine because he gets Egypt to store all this food. And the angels are watching going like, no way. So cool. Well, Joseph dies. And then generation passes. And there's a king, a pharaoh, who doesn't know who Joseph was. And the angel is like, uh-oh, he doesn't know what Joseph did for them. Uh-oh, what's he going to do? And he makes those people slaves. And the angels are watching going like, what? And they're looking at God going like, what? What's happening here? Well, then there's this little baby, and they see this little baby, and they see this woman hiding her baby from Pharaoh because Pharaoh's killing all the little baby boys. So this lady hides this little baby, and they're like, oh, this must be a special baby. God's protecting this baby, and this baby's name is Moses. And the angels are watching this little baby. They're like, oh, is the current going to take him away? No? Oh, no. Oh, no, Pharaoh's daughters found him. What are they going to do with him? Pharaoh's daughter takes him in, raises him up, and the angels are like, what? Did not see that coming. That is so cool. Now what? Now what's going to happen? Moses ends up leading God's people out of Egypt. There's plagues. There's all this stuff. The angels are going like, whoa. What's next? What's next? They're watching it all unfold. So Israel goes on. They become a nation. They have kings. These kings reject God, and the angels are probably going like, no, you guys don't understand what you're doing. Don't reject God. And God allows the other nations to come and conquer Israel and take them away. And then the same thing happens with Judah. They take them away. And the angels are like, is it over? Is it done? Can't be. We know who God is. Many years later, all of a sudden there's rumblings in heaven. Something's going to happen. God's going to become a man. What? No way. God's going to become one of them? Are you kidding me? Guys, this is what the angels are watching. What? He's going to do that? He's actually going to become one of them? He's going to grow up? He's going to take on the sins of the entire world? What? The angels are watching this going like, no way. Oh, this is incredible. This is the time. He's being born in Roman occupation. Like, people of Israel are being oppressed by this nation. Is he going to become a king and wipe out Rome? So the angels are watching, eagerly anticipating the next thing. Because they kind of know what's going to happen, right? It's been written in the Bible. They know. But they're watching it unfold. And then the ultimate of things happens. Jesus is led away to a cross where he's mistreated. And I can see the angels weeping and turning their heads, going, we can't watch. We can't watch. This is God. And he's being treated horribly by his own creation. They're killing him. So Jesus dies on the cross. All the while, the angels are watching. And all Jesus had to do was call them, and they would have came, but he didn't. So all they did was they comforted him. The Bible says they comforted him. That was it. He died on the cross. 3 days later, can you imagine being one of those angels standing at the tomb, knowing that Jesus has already risen from the dead? The disciples are coming. The ladies are coming. And they're like, nope, he's gone. He rose from the dead. Didn't see that coming, did ya? Right? The angels are like, whoa, this is awesome. Right? And then they see Jesus after he's resurrected, 40 days later, comes up and he's with the angels again. They're like, whoa, high-fiving, right? Going like, that was incredible. And then, it's not over, right? This is what Peter is saying. This is the time right now. When Peter wrote this, the angels are anticipating, what's next? What's going to happen? And they see the church. They see the church arise out of nowhere. God builds the church, his new people, a new creation, a new people, born into this new family. And they're like, wow, this is incredible. Is it not? Like, you guys, can you imagine the angels just watching this all unfold? That's what Peter is talking about. This is what Peter is trying to express to the people. Do you understand how incredible God is, that he's unfolding this plan little by little by little, that we don't need to fear? We just have to go through step 1, 2, 3 as the angels have watched this whole thing unfold, to know that God has got this and that we don't need to fear, that we can rest assured that God has got this under control. And the stuff that we don't understand that's happening is fine. Like, throughout history, we haven't really understood what God is doing. Right? And we're in the same spot now. The point is, and we get it from this text, is that we love him and we trust him. All right. So that's our talk for today. One of the best things about being chosen by God is that he gives us hope. And this hope comes from our trust and our faith, not in a religion. Okay? Our hope does not come from the fact that we are part of a religion. That's not hope. That's death. Our hope comes from one person, Jesus. Our hope comes from the fact that we've seen, just like the angels have watched, we know the history of mankind. We've seen it happen. We've seen it move from the beginning till it is now. We know there's more to come. And so we place our hope and our trust in God. There's going to be difficult times for you guys in the future. You need to know that. Some of you might be going through them right now. But having faith in Jesus will make all the difference. Too many people walk in darkness and are alone. Too many people are confused and without purpose or hope. Too many people are in pain and without faith, and there's no end in sight. Too many people don't know Jesus and desperately need him. The hard part is that they don't know about him, or have rejected the thought of giving their lives to him. And that's where the people of God come in. And we'll, Peter actually goes on in his next letter to say, just be ready. People are going to go like, hey, why does that guy have so much hope? Actually, that's in this letter. That's coming. Sorry, that's in 1 Peter. Oh, it's in a few weeks. He's going to say, why do you have so much hope? And that's when you give the answer about who Jesus is and how he's changed you. This is the hope that we have. All right, let me pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this incredible letter that we're reading and we get to explore for the next few months. It is powerful and awesome. And I just pray that you would impact us with your word and we get to really understand who you are and that we don't have to be afraid. No matter what we face, we have hope in you and we don't need to fear. And so, Lord, I pray for those students who are struggling with fear about end of the world or what might happen. Help them, Lord, to see you in a different light, to understand that everything in history, human history, has gone according to your plan so far, and there's no need to doubt that suddenly that changes for some reason today. That we can trust that you have everything in your hands. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you for choosing us to be part of your family. Pray for good discussions, good questions, and great small group. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.